Chair, and thank you, members, for raising questions regarding issues under the Security Bureau. First, some members have raised questions on asylum seekers and project claimants. I'd like to highlight that the Hong Kong SAR government has put in place a unified screening mechanism to screen non-refoulement claimants. The procedures, which are established following court decisions, meet the highest standards of fairness and compare most favorably with those adopted in other common law jurisdictions. The mechanism ensures that claimants would have every reasonable opportunity to substantiate their claims with sufficient provision safeguards. Each claimant is provided with properly funded legal assistance and professional interpretation services. Claimants aggrieved by Immigration Department's decision may lodge an appeal without any merits test, and the appeals are considered by an independent torture claim appeals board, whose members are mostly retired judges or magistrates or overseas experts. In addition, they can also apply to the court for judicial review. Whether a claim is substantiated or not depends entirely on the particular facts and merits of the case. From March 2014 up to the end of April this year, over 20,000 claims have been processed under the mechanism, but only about 1.25% are substantiated. The very low substantiation rate reflects that most claimants in Hong Kong do not have sufficient justification to substantiate their claims. And I also like to stress that these non-refoulement claimants are illegal immigrants, overstayers, and persons refused permission to land upon arrival. They do not have any lawful status to stay in Hong Kong. A child whose parents are non-refoulement claimants cannot obtain permanent status in Hong Kong. And also, the Immigration Department is empowered under the law to detain any immigration offenders during the various stages of screening and/or removal process. Our government has formulated our immigration detention policy in accordance with the relevant legal principles established by the court, which is published online for public access. The department would, on a case-by-case basis, determine whether an individual should be detained, taking into account the relevant factors and circumstances of the case, including whether that person has committed a serious crime, whether that person is likely to pose a threat to the community, and also whether there is any risk of that person absconding or reoffending. So there's no arbitrary detention at all. The duration of detention depends on the circumstances of each case and hence cannot be generalized. The Immigration Department conducts regular and timely review of each detention case to determine whether an individual should be further detained and would notify that person in writing the results with justifications. Any detainee dissatisfied with the detention decision has a right to access to the court. At present, among the 14,800 claimants still staying in Hong Kong, only about 300 of them, that is about 2%, are detained pending removal or final determination of the claims. Among them, over half of them are discharged prisoners who have previously committed serious crimes such as trafficking in dangerous drugs, burglary, and robbery. I also like to add that unless a person has a right of abode or right to land in Hong Kong, he or she requires an entry visa or permit in order to work here. Our Court of Final Appeal has also upheld in 2014 that substantiated claimants and mandated refugees do not have constitutional or other legal rights to work in Hong Kong. Notwithstanding this, the Director of Immigration may exercise his discretion to consider on a case-by-case basis an application for permission to take up employment. Some members have also raised the question of trafficking in persons. First of all, I'd like to emphasize that trafficking in persons is never tolerated in Hong Kong. The government has been making proactive and multi-pronged efforts to combat trafficking in person and to enhance the protection and well-being of foreign domestic helpers in Hong Kong. Although the Parliament protocol is not ratified in Hong Kong, all the TIP conducts already covered by over 50 legal provisions, This established a well-provided legal framework to safeguard the rights. These are comparable to the composite TIP laws in other jurisdictions. Despite our vigorous efforts in victim screening, the percentage and number of TIP victims identified remain low. In the past 2 years, around 14,600 screenings were conducted, with only 4 TIP victims identified. The small percentage of victims identified does not reflect any fallacy in our system. Rather, it reflects that TIP has never been a prevalent problem in Hong Kong. Some members have also questioned about the 2 weeks rule in Hong Kong. I'd like to respond that this rule has been implemented since 1987. It is essential for maintaining effective immigration control in Hong Kong, including against illegal employment, and helps prevent foreign domestic helpers from job hopping. The main purpose of this two-week rule is to allow sufficient time for foreign domestic helpers to prepare for their departure. The existing policy has allowed sufficient flexibility to cater for exceptional circumstances. When there are legitimate reasons, for example, when there was evidence that the foreign domestic helpers have been abused or exploited, they could apply for a change of employment in Hong Kong without first returning to their places of origin. Exploitation of foreign domestic helpers is never tolerated in Hong Kong, and domestic helpers should not feel inhibited from lodging complaints against their employers. Some members have also questions about the police complaint system. To this, I'd like to point out that the two-tier police complaint system in Hong Kong is a fair, impartial, and effective arrangement which ensures that complaints against members of the police force are handled fairly, effectively, and independently. In fact, countries around the world have set up their own police complaint system based on their needs and actual circumstances. In some places, the complaints are handled by a dedicated unit within the police, while in other places, a two-tier system similar to Hong Kong is adopted. There is actually no single international standard per se. We believe that matters relating to police enforcement action are best handled by the statutory independent police
There's a problem with the sound.